The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hear God's holy word from Luke 12. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, who saved us from sin, death and devil, and gave us eternal life with you. We ask you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that he will lead and guide us in all truth. Your word is the truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he is the faithful and suffering servant of our God. Of him we hear from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, "The Lord wakens me in the morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away." He is our good example, this servant of the Lord. Him we should follow and become more and more like him, being ourselves instructed by the Lord, our God, our Maker and Redeemer. He addresses us and wants us to give ear. He talks to us and wants us to hear. We should not be rebellious nor turn away either. Rather, give close attention. Follow his instructions and do this morning by morning, waking up and praying, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." It's not like our God is into occult business and you have to go to strange, hidden and dark places to meet him. No, he led the church out of catacombs, out of hiding, and put it into wide open spaces. Ever since Easter and Pentecost, where the apostles were hidden behind closed doors, the Lord has grown his word by opening up the doors and the windows and leading his people out into wide open spaces. Yes, the word has spread across the entire globe. Today, the gospel is free to run its course in most places. Even the Iron Curtain gave way. By God's grace and working thus, the gospel gained free course in previously forbidden and no-go areas. Even North Korea, China, and the entire Muslim world is becoming porous to the gospel. Christian churches are gathering more and more freely in these places, even as they grow from strength to strength in the underground. God willing, they will become open and free to the gospel when and where it pleases him. He invites you to go to church daily and hear his word read, preached, and taught. It's public. The doors are open and there are signboards, bells, and ushers who invite you in. Come, that the house of the Lord may be filled. There is still room. You too are invited. The call and gracious invitation has gone out to the very ends of the world. Apostles and disciples of the Lord went out two by two, proclaimed all that the Lord Jesus Christ had entrusted to them in markets and schools. but also to the shut-ins in hospitals, asylums and prisons. Our Lord has entrusted to them the very essence of God's holy will and the saving truth of his precious gospel. This was the treasure of the church, not gold or silver, that the church often doesn't have, but the forgiveness of our sins, the proclamation of his favor, subsequent life, and eternal salvation. These missionaries, evangelists, teachers, bishops, and all the rest of God's faithful people making up the church had in their bags, in their hearts, in books, letters, and on tablets as they traveled across the continents of the world, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the triune God, carrying out the last will of the Lord and Master, going about his mission as faithful servants, as his very own, just like the servant of Abraham did in the Shaliach Institute, which we heard just now. Yes, it's all there in the Holy Bible. That's all the prophetic and apostolic witness taught and entrusted to the Lord's disciples. Its holy essence and saving truth is summarized in Luther's Catechism and the Holy Christian Church's Catechism. It's all entailed correctly and authentically and in good, right, and salutary measure and detail in the Book of Concord of the Lutheran Church too. We sing about it in the Lutheran hymnals. We know it by heart. We pray about it. We talk about it. We think and meditate on it. We live accordingly, or at least we should, especially we who are called pastors and we who want to become that. And it's to our shame that we're not so good at and about this as we're supposed to be. We're still learning. We're still imperfect. But we are striving to improve and for perfection even as we listen more and more attentively, meditating on his word, moving it in our hearts, thinking it in our minds, and taking it into our daily lives, and letting it shine forth in its clarity and purity, effectivity and sufficiency as we go about our daily chores and callings there, just as Psalm 1 would want us as faithful people of God to do. The word of God nurtures, instructs, punishes, corrects, and guides, forgives, encourages, and helps us as we face our daily challenges to live faithfully as Christians and cope with various temptations on the way too. That's how we listen as faithful servants instructed by God's word, even from the prophet Isaiah too. One of the most grievous temptations for any Christian is fear, because love and fear don't go together, and neither do trust and fear. So wherever fear comes up, especially fear of other things than God, it threatens to intimidate us, take our focus away from Jesus, and make us look elsewhere. It tries to drive out our trust and faith in Christ our Lord. But he has said, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I am with you. I'm there with you to help and assist you. You don't need to live behind locked doors. Come out and preach freely, like St. Peter then did at Pentecost. Nobody's going to harm you because I protect you. Therefore, be manly and strong, courageous and brave. Don't be afraid. Even if they throw you into prison, they can't harm you because I am there with you." Peter is an example in point. Perhaps you read Enoch McBenn's posting 2 days ago where he writes about the fear to witness God's love to others. Some might fear that. Others, like Jonah, might fear that the people God sends us to, like the people of Nineveh, will actually repent and be spared by God, although you would rather see them burn, be destroyed, and perish. So you rather run away. and hide. Others, like John and James, might fear that the Samaritans get away with denying Christ. A place for the night, accommodation, and a place in their homes. Others just fear being cheated or shortchanged by others, that they discriminate against me, hurt my feelings, that I lose my job or this or that opportunity, fear of missing out on another chance in life, and thus losing the coveted fullness of life in all its brilliant flourishing and splendor. Fear to lose out due to illness, poverty, growing weakness as we grow older. You heard Pastor Sitole yesterday indicating how that is obvious with me too. Loss of capacity and power, life slipping away between our fingers. As we grow older, losing out on life, fearing that death finally overtakes us. Yes, my friends, this vanity and losing out on life is God's punishment for our sins. We're no longer in paradise. We are limited, severely. We've got boundaries, very clear walls which we cannot overcome. We are human after all. However, thanks to God and His mercy in Jesus Christ, that is only temporal. This sinful interlude of suffering, dying, and death is a brief and short break of God's plan of that long course of eternity for us and our children in blessed life and salvation lasting forever. Trust in Him who is the risen Lord. Death could not keep Him. Neither could the grave, nor hell, nor the devil. No, Jesus, although He only lived for 33 years about, and therefore in our eyes was cut off far too short, He is alive and He rules with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one living God, and He does so in your favor that you too might live by His grace and mercy. Live in divine fullness and peace, never ending. That is sure an unfailing promise to you in baptism already. Therefore, even if you go through death's dark veil, His rod and staff may strengthen you. You'll get through with that. Therefore, you have to fear no ill, shortchanging or diminishing chances anymore. The devil is history. His evil ilk lie vanquished. They finished. Jesus Christ, however, is your good friend and trusted brother. He has counted all your hair. He has everything in control. He's got the whole world in His hands, even those little sparrows and wee little birds that nest in the trees and under our roofs. He cares for them, but even more, He cares for you. Not one of them falls to the ground without Him knowing. So He too guards your coming in and going out, your destiny in His good, caring, and loving hands. Therefore, there's absolutely no reason to be afraid of losing out in this life, because God wants you to receive grace in richest measure and divine abundance now and forever. Don't worry about human courts and powers either. They're just men. Nothing much in comparison with our Lord and God. Not even the mightiest among them, princes or presidents, weigh up against Him. They're just men. Don't count for much, really. They can't harm us in the last instance, because God Himself is in control and He will take good care of us, even if it sometimes doesn't look like it. Even if the courts of this world seem to have the last word, their harsh judgments and condemnations seem so final, and their prisons look so frighteningly permanent, so intimidating with their thick walls and deep dungeons down underground, still, it's nothing for our Lord to free us from there, or if it is his will to keep us right in there in the deep prisons, the Gulag, Robben Island, John Foster Square, by his peace and mercy. Just remember Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, Noah in the ark, when all the world was perishing in the deluge, or Jonah in that big fish and the deepest seas too. Think of it and see how our Lord keeps his people right there. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to Pontius Pilate, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." Nothing happens without God knowing, and he allows only those things that serve to our best and benefit and ultimate salvation. So the stories of Jonah, Joseph in Egypt, he was also in prison, Daniel in Babylon, have happy endings. Even the suffering, cross, dying, and death of our Lord is just one step towards Easter and the resurrection and eternal life. Therefore, take the long view of things, not just the short one. In the end, all will be well, because God himself will be all in all. Therefore, take courage, be brave, take heart, and don't be afraid. These last days, we've seen riots and burning of facilities and escalating violence as bricks are thrown and bullets fly. People are afraid that things will change. People are afraid that things will never change. People are afraid to wait and talk things through. They don't trust each other. They think they must take things into their own hands. They hate, fear, and loathe each other. They think God is dead and we must do it ourselves. Dark times indeed. The time is right for the light of the gospel. We've seen that too. Many, many holding hands, accepting each other as brothers and sisters, as we do here, making room for each other, even if we live so tightly together, accommodating, welcoming, respecting each other, going out of each other's way to serve each other with love and good intentions, merciful doings and acts of love. Yes, letting the other be exactly that, otherwise, different, not myself. Still, he is my brother, she is my sister. I don't need to fear, hurt, or negate him and think that she takes away something from me or he limits my capacities. We've got one Father in heaven. His Holy Spirit himself vouches for us. His testimony that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, our brother and next of kin, is our saving truth. It's our trust and conviction. He himself vouchsafes that in our heart, but also stands in for us before God's throne. He has taught us to believe, teach, and confess the Christian creed, which I, by my own strength and abilities, cannot believe. Still, he has brought about our blessed conversion from old, vain, and sinful ways, where we have always needed to care first for ourselves. He has rather tied us to Christ, made us new creatures. So it's no longer us, but him in us. Made us his very own, thus saved and kept us in Jesus Christ all blessed days of our life. We need to fear no ill. We don't need to think only about ourselves, but can stand up for what is right and good and salutary, even for our brothers and sisters across the borders of family lines, racial divides, national boundaries. However, whoever discards this spiritual testimony and forsakes this good confession, rather disowns Christ, is lost and should wake up before it's too late. Repent and turn around without delay from his rebellious ways before it is utterly too late and night has fallen. There's nothing worse than closing your ears to the gospel of Christ and to the voice of His Holy Spirit. There's no way around that. Such rebellion is sure death sentence. You should really be afraid of that, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. There is no other way to salvation and to life eternal. Therefore, listen to Him. Trust the divine testimonies of the Holy Spirit, for it is the true salvific and doesn't put to shame anybody who puts his trust in Him. Therefore, whoever has ears, let him hear. And all praise and honor and thanks be to Jesus Christ, our Lord and God, now and always. Amen. His peace be with you always. Amen.